Last week was a heavy topic. I get it. It's a heavy topic. When you stand in front of the church and tell them that not all are going to enter heaven, it's a heavy topic. Not all Israel is Israel. And not all church is the church. Today we'll be connected, kind of a part two. It's a very interesting and profound topic, at least from my perspective. It is a topic about timing. Timing. And let me begin by kind of asking, is it ever okay for you and I to look at someone and say, it's never too late to come to Christ? Never too late? Is it okay to say that? Is it truthful to say that? Can you run out of time? So if I say it's never, that never is a big old word. If I say it's never too late to come to Christ, is that okay? Can you run out of time, or is it never too late to confess your faith in Jesus and be saved? So let's go into that. The Bible is very clear that faith in Jesus saves us. Let's make that clear. There's only one thing that saves us, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And how did you get that faith in Jesus Christ? If faith is your salvation, then how do you get faith? That'd be the logical next step question. If faith is my salvation, then how did I receive faith? Faith comes by hearing. And I want you to visualize something. So we have these portals that go into our soul. I've talked about this at length before. My eyes and my ears are portals that are connected to the human heart, the human soul. And through my eyes and through my ears, I can receive the message of Christ. I can read the Bible with my eyes. I can hear a preacher preaching with my ears. And when that message of that Bible that I read or that preacher that I listen to, when that comes into my ears and my eyes, it goes into my heart, and supernaturally, somehow, I don't know how it works, somehow or another, that word touches my heart, penetrates my heart, transforms my heart, turns a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and suddenly the truth is revealed. And when that happens, something follows. And when that happens, it must begin in the heart. It comes in through the portals. It comes into the heart, and then my heart starts to do something. It speaks. What's in my heart then comes out of my mouth. What comes out of my mouth is actually finds its origin in my heart. So let's start there. I want to go to the Word today. Well, so what is it that's coming into the portals? What's coming in my eyes and my ears? This. When this is supernatural. If you're still struggling with that, then just hang in here with me today. I want to show you something. This is supernatural. When it makes contact with the human heart, the soul of man, something supernatural happens. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, rightly dividing joint and marrow, piercing even to the deepest parts of the human heart. It does what none of us can explain. It is the power of the Spirit of Christ. So let's do something. Let's go to the Bible and let's search for truth today about the question, not too late. Here we go. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Notice something, that which is coming out of your mouth must be coming from somewhere. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and where does that confession find its origin? And believe in your heart, here's where it comes from, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So my heart believes God raised him from the dead, my mouth proclaims Jesus is Lord because my heart believes God raised him from the dead, right? My heart through my mouth. You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God and confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Where does that originate? It comes from my heart. I believe in my heart, God raised him from the dead. My mouth calls upon the name of the Lord, right? It happens inside of me. Verse 14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? If it never came into the portal of your ear or the portal of your eye? If you've never heard of him, how are you going to call upon him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone, here's last week's message. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith, that's what saves us, comes by hearing. That is hearing the message about Christ. You're going to hear that good news message today. Salvation by faith is the central theme to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what about the timing? What about the timing? Is it ever too late? Not just any timing, but the timing in which you hear the invitation and the timing by which you receive the invitation by faith, which means my heart has encountered the word, a supernatural event takes place, and my mouth confesses Jesus Christ is Lord. What about the timing? The invitation. The invitation. The invitation from God to come, and I've always liked this scene. Do you know that in that moment you have received an invitation to work into the preparation of the occupation? Let me say it again. In a moment when God comes and invites you, he's inviting you to come into the preparation for the future occupation of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is being prepared even now. His people are being prepared. We're being transformed. We're being changed. We're being brought to maturity in Christ. Because you're going to be you in heaven, whether you know that or not. And we're in the preparation for the occupation that is coming one day. So I want you to do something as we begin our journey together today. I want you to look at this scene on the TV, and I want you to use that scene to imagine heaven as a garden. It's not hard. You read the story of the Garden of Eden, and it's a beautiful garden that God has put humans inside of. I want you to think of heaven as a Garden of Eden kind of a place, a beautiful garden and a vineyard scene with grapevines and grapes, because Jesus is going to use that kind of a story to tell us about the kingdom of heaven. So if he makes the linkage, surely we can get the linkage. Jesus tells a parable about this invitation, and in this parable, he reveals the answer to today's question. Is it ever too late? Is it ever too late to accept the invitation to join him in this beautiful garden, in this kingdom that he has prepared? Last Sunday, I told you clearly that not all will enter. I told you clearly, I revealed to you as plain as I know how, that the Bible is clear that not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not all of Israel is Israel. Not all who call themselves the church will be the church. And today, let's ask the question, is it ever too late to be saved? Matthew 20, verse 1. Jesus is telling the parable, for the kingdom of heaven, so we know what we're talking about, right? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. So let's set up this parable from Jesus. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And I want you to imagine that scene, a beautiful garden with grapes in this fabulous kingdom garden world. This kingdom and the people that will go there really need to understand today's story, because Jesus is linking this scene to the kingdom of heaven. He's from heaven. He's uniquely qualified to describe heaven. The kingdom is like a landowner, which in the story would be God, that wants workers to come into his kingdom. The king of the kingdom, God, is inviting people to come and work in the vineyard. In preparation for the future occupation, I want you to come and work in the vineyard. He offers them pay, a reward to work in the kingdom. They are not ordinary slaves, but they are voluntary slaves. But there is work to be done in the kingdom. So here we go. Let's examine how, listen carefully, the king describes the kingdom, the vineyard, the workers, the pay, and the timing. Is it ever too late? Matthew 20, I'm going to read 12 verses. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and he sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them that he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock. So we got, let's call the early people 8 o'clock, okay? We got 8 o'clock people, we got 9 o'clock people, we got noon people, and now we got 3 o'clock people. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and he saw some more people standing around. And he asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" And they replied, "Because no one's hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last first. That's curious. Verse 9, when those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat." Let's look at this parable. The landowner begins his call to the unemployed and without purpose people. That's what I'll call the people in town. The unemployed and without purpose people. And he begins that early, the word early. I'm going to label them today the 8 o'clock people. Some were called early and they answered early and they went to work in the vineyard early. And if I look around the room today, maybe that's you. Maybe that would be your story. Maybe you're one of these early people that you got the call of God, the invitation to come work in the vineyard very, 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 very early in your life. In fact, you've been in the vineyard a long time. And maybe that's you. That's great. That's awesome. You've been working in the master's vineyard, preparing for the future occupation for a long time. That group, 8 o'clock, they were offered a good and fair wage to go to work in the vineyard. They counted the cost, looked at the options of unpurposeful unemployment, and accepted the job offer and went to work in the landowner's vineyard. And then in the story of Jesus, something happens. The landowner makes a second call. He goes back to town and he makes a second call. Now it's not 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock. So let me read verses 3 and 4 again. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and he saw some people standing around doing what? Nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. Standing around doing nothing. Meaningless lives without purpose and no chance for reward or pay. It's kind of like waiting on a government check when you should have got a job. That's just my little side note there. He is a kind landowner, and he wants workers preparing for the future occupation. And here they are standing around doing nothing. So he hires them, and notice what Jesus says in the story. I'm going to repeat verse 4. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. Does that sound fair to you? It sounds fair. I'll pay you whatever's right at the end of the day. So I look at this 9 o'clock time slot, and I look and I say, maybe that's you. Maybe you consider yourself you're not the 8 o'clock person, you're the 9 o'clock person. Why are they called at 9? Well, they're just standing around doing nothing. There's obviously no future in that. But Jesus has now made 2 calls to the unemployed people living life without purpose in town to come work in the vineyard. But he's not finished, is he? Verse 5. So they went to work in the vineyard. The 9 o'clock people have just joined the 8 o'clock people, and they're in preparation for the occupation in the vineyard. And then something else. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. Why is Jesus telling this story? Every time you read a parable, you got to stop and say, why do you think he's telling this story? What's he trying to communicate? So what's he doing? The kingdom, listen careful, church, the kingdom is eternal. But the calling is not. Are you hearing me? The kingdom is eternal. The calling is not. I'm going to show you in a minute. Early, let's call them the 8 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, the noon, and the 3 o'clock. He's made 4 separate callings, 4 independent separate callings for the people to come and work in his vineyard. But there's more. And this is when it gets interesting. Verse 6. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, why haven't you been working today? And they replied, because no one hired us. The landowner told them, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. I'm calling you. So now we've got the 8 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, the noon, the 3 o'clock, and the 5 o'clock. Now, how long is the work day in the vineyard? The vineyard, this story will tell us that the end of the day, vineyard is 6 o'clock in the story. I'm going to say it again. The kingdom is eternal. The calling is not. Why haven't you been working today? Because no one hired us. He's at 5 o'clock in town. Why haven't you been working today? Why are you standing around doing nothing? Because no one called us. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, the message of Christ. Then I'm calling you. You've been standing around doing nothing because no one's called you. No one's called you, but in the 5 o'clock hour, somebody called them. Will they hear the call at 5 o'clock? Faith saves us, comes by hearing, and at 5 o'clock, they're hearing the calling. Pause right now with me, and I want you to imagine a guy standing in the marketplace at 5 o'clock in this story. In the story, the landowner has gone into town and he sees people who are without purpose in their life, and he calls them to come into my vineyard, find payment, reward, and a purpose in your life. And can you imagine somebody at 5 o'clock, it gets dark at 6 in the story, okay? Can you imagine, this is big, can you imagine anybody in town in this scene, in this moment saying, no, it's too late in the day. It's too late in the day for me to come to work in your vineyard. I'll just stand around here and do nothing while I wait for the darkness to come. You know, I've waited this long. I've been standing here this long. Why in the world would I go to your vineyard now? After all, there's only 1 hour left in the day. I'll just stay here. Knowing in advance that it's going to get dark at 6. Does that make any sense to you? I'm going to say it again. The kingdom is eternal, but the calling is not. Faith comes by hearing, and different people hear the message of Christ at different times in their lives. Do you know that? Not everybody receives the message at 8 o'clock. And not everybody receives the message at 9 o'clock. And not everybody receives it at noon or 3 or 5. If I looked around the room today, each one of us had received individually the calling at different times and places and appointments of our lives. But we must respond to the calling when the calling comes. We must respond. The king of the kingdom in this story has offered a job in an eternal kingdom. It's not a temporary service. This job pays good and it has incredible benefits. It is not temporary work. And can I say something right now? When I study this parable of Jesus, I'm really glad that the workers in the vineyard are not in charge of payroll and benefits. Can I hear an amen? I'm really glad that it's not left up to the workers in the vineyard to see who gets paid what and the benefit package. Here's why. It's the end of the day, and darkness is coming in this story when this scene unfolds in Jesus' message. Verse 8. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with what? The last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's pay, a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only 1 hour. They started at 5 o'clock. And yet you've paid them as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. So which person, let's take the story for a moment. I want to just ask everybody to think to yourself, which person in the story are you? And before you think, well, I don't know, I don't fit. No. Everybody's in the story. Whether you know it or not, everybody's in this story somewhere. Which one are you? Are early, 9 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or you're still standing in the marketplace doing nothing? But everybody's in the story. Everybody's in here somewhere. Which one are you? Why is Jesus telling this parable? Before I go on, you better figure out, why do you think he, the Son of God, would leave heaven, come to the earth, and tell this story? Because he's revealing the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. He's telling you what heaven's like. He's telling you what it's going to be like to get in or not get in. There's more. In fact, this is the best part. And you know what it's called? Truth. Do not let the world tell you about heaven. Let the one who is from heaven tell you about heaven. Verse 13. He answered one of them. These people are complaining about they didn't come in till 5 o'clock and you paid them a whole day's wage. He answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous? Here comes the one that knocked me. Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. Now, there's two things that I want to focus just a minute on. One is this. I'm afraid that much of the church has the mentality of the before lunch crowd. Anybody listening? I'm afraid that much of the modern church has the mentality of the before lunch crowd. We've been doing this vineyard working thing in the hot sun all for a long time. How dare you new people come in here at 5 o'clock and act like you're special? That's much of the church. And you know what? Listen, you want reality? That's why we have to do Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights. Because those people who will come on a Monday night won't come in here today because they don't think that you will look at them as if they should be here because it's 5 o'clock. And that's why we're going to do it on Monday nights. If your mind, you think that why in the world, that's not right. 5 o'clock and you get the same thing as the 8 o'clockers? If that's you, I have a question. Is this your vineyard? Is this your kingdom? Are you jealous about something that doesn't even belong to you in the first place? So I got a story to illustrate this. Before I came to Nineveh, I was bivocationally preaching in a lot of places. Sometimes I would be there a few weeks. Sometimes I'd be there up to a year. Well, there's this one place, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, that I go, and they'd asked me to come to preach, and I knew very few people there, but they had lost their minister. I agreed I would do an interim. This is way before I came to Nineveh. So I went to the church and walked in the door, and again, I didn't know hardly anybody, and most of the people there in the audience didn't know me, and it's a fairly large church, so I just go and find a seat, and it would be kind of like right in here where I was sitting, and I didn't want to sit on the front row. That always felt awkward to me, being a visitor like that, so I just went a couple rows back, and when I sat down, I noticed there was a pillow there. Y'all know where this is going. So I didn't pay much attention to the fact there's a pillow there. It just kind of just sat down. Well, at that point, everybody's kind of starting to come in. The place is filling up. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm not going to do anything until they introduce me. Most of the people have no idea who I am. They think I'm a visitor. So I'm not going to do anything until they introduce me to come up and speak. And about that time, the place is kind of filling up, and some elderly woman, and when I say elderly woman, I don't think she started at 8 o'clock. I think she was there at 4:30 in Jesus' story. She'd been around this kingdom thing a long time, and she comes up to me, stands in front of me, and goes, and I just looked up at her and said, good morning. You're in my seat. I just took the pillow and whopped her right across the face. I did not do that. Did I want to do that? Yes. The Holy Spirit would not allow it. I scooted over later. We became buddies. I ended up there for about a year. Here's the deal. What is that? What is that? That's not about your seat. That's about the idea that I've been here since 8 o'clock, and you look like you're one of those 5 o'clock people. I've been going to this church since before Christ, and you just show up here like you're special? You know much? Listen, that's a whole lot of how the world sees us. Do you understand? That's a whole lot of how the world sees us. And that's a whole lot of why they don't want to come in here. And the Spirit inside of them is drawing them here. But how you see them and how you respond to them determines this insecurity about walking in the door. And instead of saying you're in my chair when they come to your aisle, you scoot in and say, come in, you take the best seat. I'll scoot in the middle. Do you understand? Why is Jesus telling us this story? I told you there were two parts I wanted to focus on. The second part of this, it's not too late. As long as the landowner is driving through your neighborhood making job offers, it's not too late. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And today, church, you have received a job offer from the landowner. You are right now receiving a job offer from the landowner. Do you really think standing there doing nothing's going to end well for you? Do you really think this standing there doing nothing is comparable to a job with a generous landowner in the kingdom of heaven? Really? Do you want to really know the heart of the landowner? What can you learn about the heart of the landowner in this story? Do you want to receive the heart of this landowner? Because here it is. Here's the heart of the landowner revealed in Jesus' parable. Verse 14. Take your money and go. He's not happy. He's not happy with that guy. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. He's not happy with him. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? Does it offend you that Jesus wants to pay the workers to accept the invitation to come and work in the vineyard at 5 o'clock the same as he pays the ones that he hired at 8 o'clock? So be honest. Do you, in your mind, when you measure this standard, are you offended by the idea that he pays 5 o'clockers the same as 8 o'clockers? Would that make you jealous? Because I'm going to tell you what it does to me. It leaves me in awe of the mercy and the kindness and the generosity of who he is. It reveals who he is. That this King of Kings desires to give the late arrivals the same thing as the long-term employees? Whoa, that's awesome. That doesn't make me jealous. That makes me awestruck. I am all in awe. This is the heart of God for anyone who will accept the invitation to come to the vineyard. This is his heart. When he says, come, work in the vineyard, do you know that's who he is? He's this kind, generous, loving. He wants to enrich your life, even if you've ignored him for years. You know, sometimes it's easier to receive grace than it is to give grace. Amen. I never met anybody that didn't like to receive it. I've met a whole lot of people who don't like to give it. So when would be a good time or the right time to accept the invitation to work in the vineyard? When he calls you. That's the right time. You know what the Bible says? Today is the day of salvation. Today. So I want to ask you three questions. It's really fast, but they're really deep. And they don't have a real answer, but it's the process of making you think about the answer that has value. Here comes question number one. Everybody listen. Were the 5 o'clock guys there that morning when the landowner called the early birds? I want you to think. Were the 5 o'clock guys, the guys that came in at five, were they actually there at 8 o'clock when he called the 8 o'clock people? And they're just like, I don't know. But it's an interesting question. Question number two. Was the 5 o'clock guy, was his calling the fifth time? The fifth time that the landowner had come and called him to come to the vineyard. He called him at 8, he called him at 9, he called him at noon, he called him at 3. And finally, for the last time, he calls him once less at 5 o'clock, knowing that it's going to get dark at 6. I don't know, but it's an interesting question. One more. Was the calling of the 5 o'clock guy, are you ready? Was the calling of the 5 o'clock guy his last chance? Last call. Is it the last time he would be invited to work in the vineyard? I don't know. I ask you three questions that I'm obviously going to say I don't know too, but I'm going to follow it up with what I do know. This I do know. The correct time to respond to the invitation of the landowner to come in his vineyard is when he calls you to come. You should answer. How many chances will you get? I don't know. I don't know. The kingdom we're talking about here is eternal. But the calling is not. In John 6, 44, Jesus says these words, "For no one can come to me unless the Father," no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. I've had several people confess Christ on their deathbed. I've been in the ministry a long time now, and I've been called into a lot of hospital situations, a lot of hospice situations, a lot of home situations where somebody knows they're on their last days. And I've had a lot of occasions where people who their whole life lived as unbelievers in that moment confessed with their mouth, "Jesus is Lord." Now, a lot of people are critical about that. And I say, well, you obviously didn't read the story today, did you? If God has given them that 5 o'clock hour, you know what I'd say? Praise God for his mercy. Now, here's the other side. I do not advise that that becomes your life strategy as well. There's a family in the church, and obviously I won't mention their name, that just shared with me just this weekend that they had somebody in their family that's in this story. That he had not confessed Christ before, and he got a news from the doctor that things were really bad, and somebody from this church met with him, and he confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior in the hospital just 2 days ago. Why? Because they obviously know about this story. It's called truth. Is it ever too late? I've gone all this time to answer the question. Yes. Yeah. Your time can run out. Sure it can. Your day can turn into darkness. Your 5 o'clock moment can become 6 o'clock darkness. Sure it can run out. When the harvest is completed, come work in the vineyard. There's a season in which there will be a harvest, but there's also a season in which the harvest will end, that it will become dark, and he's not going to bring anyone else in. The Bible says that rejecting the word can bring a time when your mind can no longer reason right and wrong. The Bible says rejecting the word over and over. So how did we start this message today? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. But what happens if at 8 o'clock I reject it, at 9 o'clock I reject it, and at noon I reject it, and at 3 I reject it, and at 5 I get this last chance because darkness is coming and the harvest is near the end and I still reject it? What does it mean? The Bible says that there's a time, I don't know when it is, that constant rejection of the word of God will create in you a mind that can no longer reason truth. In Romans 1, it talks about what happens to those who refuse to accept the truth. What would happen? Do not let the world tell you about heaven. Because in Romans 1, verse 28, it says, "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God." They thought it foolish to acknowledge God. What's he going to do? So he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should never be done. Can I say something? In that category, it's too late. No one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. And if he abandons you in that moment for rejecting the word, I don't know where that line's at. I have no idea, so I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. But it's too late. So when is the right time? It's called today, before it gets dark, before the harvest is finished, before 6 o'clock in Jesus' story. In Hebrews 3, verse 7, it says, that is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Where does faith come from? Right? If you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth. It begins here. Confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that your mouth confesses, and it's by your, it's this, it, and how did I get it in my heart? The word of God penetrated my heart. That is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There, your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. You know what this oath is? It's too late. They will never enter my rest. Don't let the world tell you about heaven. This offer to come work in the Father's vineyard is the greatest expression of love and mercy ever given on this earth. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, as God's partners, we beg you, notice the language, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness. There's the invitation, the gospel, and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. So I'm asking you, church, if you're here or you're watching online today, is this your 5 o'clock moment? Right now. I feel like it'll be dark soon. I make no apology for that statement. I think that darkness is coming quickly. The day will be over. The harvest will be complete. The 6 o'clock hour, the close is coming. I don't know the day. I have had numerous people over the last 25, 30 years look me straight in the eye and look at me and say, you know, I have rejected God my entire life. It seems crazy that I might now suddenly say yes to him. One dear friend of mine that I've talked with for I don't know how long, and that's what he told me one day. So here's my closing. As I ask you again, is it possible today's your 5 o'clock moment? Do you think you're here by accident, hearing this message by accident today? So here's my closing. I remember when I was a kid growing, by the way, I think I'm a 9 o'clock person. I didn't get it at 8. I got it pretty early in life. I'm going to put myself in the 9 o'clock category. I was raised in the church. I was forced to memorize Bible scripture. I thought it was torture when I was a kid. Now I think it's the best thing they ever did to me. And I grew up in the church, and I remember singing a particular song 10,942 times when I was a kid. Invitation time, the guys at our church, they always sang this song, Almost Persuaded. How many of y'all know the song? Did y'all go to our church? That song was written 183 years ago. And when I look at the lyrics of that song, I can tell you that nothing in the kingdom of heaven's measurement has changed. Let me give you the words, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Here we go. Listen carefully. Almost persuaded. Verse 1, almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll ask. Verse 2, almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. And here's the showstopper, number 3. If there was any Holy Spirit activity in your life, you came out of that pew on number 3. Here it comes. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. almost persuaded. Doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. The people who taught me that song, the people I sang that song with my childhood, are mostly all gone now. That's the way the world works. They either went into the light of the kingdom of heaven, or they either went into the darkness of the separation of God in hell. Today, the Father is calling people into the vineyard. Today, right now, I can tell you this. He is calling people into the vineyard of the kingdom of heaven. And as of right now, it's not too late. It's still 5 o'clock. As of right now, it's not too late. I don't know how much longer we can say that. Today, you've been called to come work in the landowner's glorious garden forever. Called. An invitation from God to come join him in the preparation of the occupation of the kingdom of heaven. The gospel is his invitation for us to join him. His kingdom is coming, and we are preparing for its arrival. Our king is coming. Who would turn this down? This wonderful offer to leave a life of without purpose and meaning and no eternal reward and come into an eternal kingdom. Who would turn it down? You know the answer. You don't believe it. Unbelievers. What's at stake? The kingdom of heaven is at stake. The landowner gave out paychecks at the end of the day. The reward will come at the end of the day. The kingdom of heaven is eternal. And I tell you today, the calling is not. Last week was not all. Not all of Israel was Israel. Not all of the church is the church. And today, it's not too late until it's too late. Romans 10:16, the last verse. But not everyone welcomes this good news. It's good news, right? But not everyone welcomes this good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes by from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. And today you've heard some wonderful good news. I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. And I have no idea how to get off the stage. So this week is Thanksgiving. And I was thinking this morning to myself about what am I thankful for? And Tim Moore said something a couple weeks ago when he was here. And Tim and I have this same heart that we believe in the soon return of Christ. We believe the Holy Spirit's prompting us to preach and teach the soon return of Christ. But in the middle of that, you know what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving week? I'm thankful he did not come before I had a 5 o'clock moment. He didn't come until I had a chance to hear the message. And it pierced my heart. And it changed my life. And today, Thanksgiving's coming. And I'm thankful that there are people maybe sitting here in this room that this is your 5 o'clock moment. And the most Thanksgiving thing you can imagine is that the landowner has invited you into his garden today. Even though it's about to get dark. What a wonderful story of great kindness and mercy and generosity. Who would turn this down? Only if you didn't believe it. So we're going to sing a song. And we're going to offer this song as a time of invitation. And it doesn't matter how many times you've heard the invitation. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Today. Accept his love and mercy. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Today you've heard his word. Let's stand. Let's sing to God.